It's the In Route, where friends of the show get a special segment with us. Want to be part of the action? Want to be the newest member of the In Crowd? Well, you know what to do. Hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com, or slide in our DMs on IG @FaderoutePodcast, or drop us a line on X @FaderoutDNZ, and you could be next. Part 2 of our interview with Jonathan Barrera of Riker Danzig LLP starts right now. If you missed part 1, don't worry about it. It's on our long-form episode from earlier in the week. Check it out. Transitioning from the field to the courtroom, John Gruden, former head coach of the Bucks and the Raiders, kind of disgraced, as we know. He's currently suing the NFL for defamation, but he's also seeking a head coaching job at the same time. I don't know how that's working. So do you see John Gruden eventually coaching again in the NFL? And what are some of the obstacles he's going to have to overcome to get hired again?
I mean, I guess the answer is depends on what a team is looking for, right? Is a team desperate enough to give him a chance because, for all intents and purposes, he was a really good coach, or still is. Let's assume he still is a really good coach to this day. And I actually read an article that he was in consideration for some of the head coaching jobs that opened up this year. He was apparently being considered as a candidate for these positions. So I guess it all depends on what is a team looking for and what are they willing to sacrifice for it, right? Because there is going to be an image problem, right? This is never going to go away. It's out there in the public stratosphere that he said these things about a black person in power and in the NFL. It's never going to go away. 75, 80% of his roster is going to be African American black. You are always going to have that following. So it's really a matter of how does a team value his abilities as a coach over the public image issue that they're going to have with him as their coach. Because as soon as someone hires him, and again, this is just speculation, this is me just thinking out loud. As soon as someone hires him, I would find it hard to believe that no one's going to come in and say, what are you doing? Like, we wouldn't give Colin Kaepernick a chance for standing up to injustice, or we're going to give this guy a chance who was literally saying things that, for all intents and purposes, are discriminatory. He's a person who is responsible for these men in this position of power, and this is what he thinks of them. Whether or not he was joking or not, right? Because it's all a matter of perception. He's telling us he didn't mean to say it, right? But what other people are going, the way the public is going to view, and again, it's the court of public opinion, is that he said this thing about a person of color, and now we're going to entrust him to guide these men who are mostly of color and yet we couldn't give a person of color a chance for standing up to what everyone believed was an injustice that was happening at the time. So it's really going to come down to how high does a team value his abilities as a coach? Because as we've seen in this carousel of coaching, this last series, where all these new coaches lost their jobs, people were getting replaced mid-season. Being a head coach in the NFL isn't easy. And to have longevity and be successful is something that's extremely difficult to do, let alone just being able to make it from year to year. And he's done it. He's won a Super Bowl, right? He's coached many teams to the playoffs. It's not someone who is coming in. He's been successful in analyzing different things as a sports analyst for the sport. So he knows what he's doing. The question is, how much will that affect the public image of a team, right? And if you're already in a situation where your public image is probably not that great at this point, let's say hypothetically, back when the Washington Commanders were going through all their problems, right? They probably would not have done well to hire John Gruden because it would not have benefited them in light of everything that they were facing. So in this case, the team has to be willing to, or at least be prepared to sacrifice the public image that they will inevitably sacrifice for hiring him, because this is following him. Now, John Gruden is suing for defamation, I saw, because he's claiming the NFL leaked those emails. He's not saying he didn't send the emails, right? He never once denied sending them. He's never once said he was. He's admitted that these are my emails. So he's owned that what he said are his words. So that's coming into whatever team decides to hire him, and they really got to consider that if that's something that's worth it to him. is a couple of extra wins worth it to us to bring in this man who is possibly going to be looked at as somewhat of a person who harbors these discriminatory thoughts in himself? You don't just say them out of nowhere. At least I'm going to opine that it doesn't just happen. You don't just make up these words to insult someone. Just kidding, right? But that's something that they're going to have to weigh. So does he end? And here's the other thing you have to consider. What if you hire him and your team does absolutely nothing, right? Your team loses. Your team continues on this slide. Whether it's because you're rebuilding or you just don't have the proper roster, you hire this guy who, for all intents and purposes, has now this scarlet letter attached to him to bring him into your organization, sacrificing this public image that you're trying to create amongst whatever community you're trying to create it. And he still loses. He does nothing for you. You have to remember, because this is the NFL, right? You still have to win games. And winning, for all intents and purposes, winning helps everybody forget anything. So what if he doesn't, right? Is there a guarantee that he's going to win 11 games? Is there a guarantee that he's going to get you into the playoffs? And that's the risk-reward analysis that you have to do as a team when you're trying to bring in someone who has this type of baggage to them. Because at the end of the day, you're competing against this public image that you want to create. You want to be a pillar of your community as an NFL franchise. Because you want the fans that keep coming in. You don't want people protesting outside your stadium every single game, highlighting this particular hire. And then, what if it doesn't work out? What if he's terrible? What if it just so happens that he just can't win? Because now your window is shortening up. Because if you're risking this, the reward has to be something, I would say, magnificent, right? You would have to have someone who's going to take you to the playoffs. And not even just take you to the playoffs, take you to a championship game. Because otherwise, what did you really do? What did you really do to help your team out by hiring? Because I'm sure there's any other coach who does not have this baggage that could help you get to the playoffs or help you win a few extra games than you did before. Obviously, you fired your coach because your team was not doing good. There's something at your team that has kept you in a position where you are not winning games. That's why you fired your head coach to begin with. So by bringing him in, what guarantees do you have now as an owner of this franchise that he's going to do so much better that people are going to forget that he said what he said? Because that's in essence what you got to do. You have to get people to forget about this. And the only way to do that is by winning. And like all things that we've seen in football or just in general, you can't guarantee that. What's the old saying, right? Any given Sunday. You don't know what's going to happen on Sunday. And here just keep playing this out more and more, because this is how my brain works, right? I start off with the one small thing. But let's play this out a little bit more, right? Let's say he's on the sideline and one of his players of color says something or does something on the field that is not a good field thing to do. And the camera pans to him and he is screaming at this player now. What image do you now see everyone taking when they see John Gruden yelling at a player of color at this point after all of this? Like, how does that look now? Who's going to think what? And again, this is just me playing out the parade of horribles that could happen if you hire him, but that's going to the smallest aspect of it, is that you have this guy who's always going to walk around with that. You're not getting rid of it. So what's the benefit to a team to hire him? Is he going to get hired? I don't know. I would say if I was a general counsel for a team and they asked me, should we hire him? My question would be real quick, like, what do you value more? Like, do you value more a couple more wins, or do you value the image that you're going to have for the rest that's going to follow you? Because you're going to be the first team to hire him, right?
Well, what concessions could he possibly make that could, or what kind of image rehab can he possibly make that as general counsel would make you, would kind of ease your discomfort, we'll say?
Well, it would have to be something that, what, at least in my opinion, would have to be something that wasn't brought on by the idea of getting hired, right? It has to be something that he did on his own, because then it goes to him wanting to change his image, right? It's not, well, you only change your image to get the job. And that all goes to that public perception that he himself wanted to fix himself. So let's assume something would be like sensitivity training, right? The word that, no, like, you voluntarily went to sensitivity training to understand what you did and why it was wrong, right? that now you're showing that you actually have an interest in fixing yourself, because obviously you are realizing that what you did is wrong, not just because you lost your job, but because of how it impacted the Black community, right? So that would be one thing, but it would have to come from him. If I was general counsel, I would tell the owner, like, listen, if this is coming from him, that's something we can consider, because at least we can mark, I mean, again, this is going into now like the business aspect. At least we can market it that this man is rehabilitating himself. Did he start working with charities to better the communities of the less fortunate communities, right? Is he doing that on his own? Because again, the spin is always going to be that the only reason why he's doing this is to get this job. And that's the last thing you want, because it's not so much we want to hire you and then you fix yourself for the job, is we want to be able to hire you because you are a better person now and you're a great coach. Because you're trying to be a better person and you're a great coach, because that you can market. You can sell that as someone who's actually trying to do better for themselves. It's a lot easier to sell someone changing themselves for the sake of changing without a guarantee of anything than it is to sell it after the fact that, yeah, he's changing, he's doing all these things, because the answer is always going to be, well, he's only doing it because he's got this job and he wants to keep this job, not because he actually cares. Z, I don't know if Dame told you, I was actually a prosecutor in Passaic County and Hudson County before I came on. So this is playing into that side of my life too, is that we always had, whenever I was doing a sentence, I most recently finished up in homicide. So I had serious cases back then. But we always had people coming in at sentencing, right? And they would always bring up this whole, well, you know, he's now going to anger management training classes. He's doing his drug rehabilitation. And the answer is always easy enough for me to rebut that and just say, yeah, well, he's doing it now because he's about to be sentenced. The judge is about to sentence this person to 20 years, 15 years, whatever. Like, he's not doing it because he wants to change. He's doing it because he's hoping you won't sentence him. And that's how I would look at it, in terms of, if you're going to hire John Gruden, it can't be because he's doing something for the sake of this job. It has to be his own volition. He did it because he wanted to get better and change. I think at some point he may take those steps, hopefully, and ultimately it becomes easier for him to get a job. Because again, you don't want anyone to not be able to work, right? And my understanding is that he's actually still an analyst somewhere, right? I think I read that.
Well, I think what he does now is, I think he's doing some stuff for Barstool Sports.
Yeah.
I think they hired him, but no ESPN or CBS or any big name. It's just Barstool. They're not touching him. But I've watched his Barstool stuff. I mean, he's a great football mind. Mm-hmm. But like you said, John, I don't think he's sorry. And I don't... I think he's trying to play a different card.
If he doesn't feel
there,
like he's done anything wrong, he's not going to be able to own up to anything, and he's not going to be able to make those steps that you were just talking about. But let's talk about a guy who's in the league, in defensive coordinator for the Vikings, Brian Flores. He's also suing the league, but he's got a job, and he's also vying for head coaching positions in the NFL. Very sordid stuff. So if you were legal counsel for an NFL team, would you advise or deter a team from hiring Coach Flores, knowing he's got an active suit against the league?
So if I was counsel for a team, the advice I would give is, if you are not going to give him an offer, if you're not even going to give him a chance, it better be for some reason other than his lawsuit, because he's protected. Under the Civil Rights Act, you cannot punish someone for filing a complaint under the Civil Rights Act. So he filed his discrimination claim, right? Saying that these teams and the NFL discriminated against him because he's Black and that's why they didn't hire him. And the other Black coaches joined. I think Steve Wilkes was one of them. Yeah. I forget who the other one was.
Yeah.
So because he's filing a discrimination claim and it is currently active, he is suing the NFL for discrimination, not for anything else. A team can now not punish him because of the fact that he filed a lawsuit, which is the weirdest thing, right? Because the NFL are the teams. The owners are the NFL. That's who hires the commissioner. Like, the owners are the NFL for all intents and purposes.
Does it actually work in his favor that he hasn't gotten hired? You know, because now it's like, well, this is 2 years. I've been trying to become a head coach again, and out of all the job openings, still no minority was, well, one minority was hired, and I wasn't that guy. So does that help his case a little bit?
Actually, I think it kind of hurts him a little bit. Oh. because it's the discrimination claim is basically like, you're not hiring because I'm black. That's why. But meanwhile, if the current landscape is an increase in the hiring of black coaches, then how can you argue that the league, right, is collaborating against you to not hire you because you're black? Gotcha. Well, that's not the answer, right? We're hiring black coaches that are good at their job.
It's not you.
It's not you. You're a great defensive coordinator.
Nothing personal.
Nothing personal. You're a great defensive coordinator, but you had your chances as a head coach and you were not great. So we are now moving away from that. We're hiring other black coaches to give them a chance because we want to see what they do. I mean, Antonio Pierce was hired almost immediately last year,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's right.
But he was not cool. He didn't have a great year, so he was fired. It's just the way it is. But they gave him a chance. So it's not a situation where it better benefits him to say, like, oh, see, no, it actually hurts him in terms of claiming that they're all colluding against him to not hire him because he's black. It actually benefits the teams, I would say, because it shows that there's no conspiracy to not hire black coaches, because that's in essence what he's arguing. Now, if I'm telling a team who he's interviewing with, if they have, because he for the last couple of years he's been a phenomenal defensive coordinator. Like, he's led that Viking defense, and for all intents and purposes, he's been great. Does he deserve another chance? Absolutely. But if I'm advising any team who's interested in him as a football coach, the one bit of advice is, if you are not going to hire him, you better be sure you have legitimate reasons for it. It better not be a pretextual, like, not hiring him because of the fact that as a Miami coach, you weren't great. Like, right? That's 4 years ago. Yeah, it's about 3 or 4 years ago. You shouldn't use that as your only reason why you're not hiring. Because since then, he has done phenomenal. He has earned a right to be interviewed again. If you are going to not hire him, you better have it locked down that, oh, your schemes don't match what we're doing. Or we're looking for someone who's more offensive-minded as opposed to defensive-minded. But we're set up. We have this brand-new quarterback of number one. Quarterback coming in. We want someone who is offensively minded. That's why we're not. Because if you can't show that, then it kind of looks like you didn't hire him because of the lawsuit. And you can't do that. Legally, you cannot deny him an opportunity because he filed this.
And teams can't stipulate that he dropped the lawsuit in order to get the job, right?
No, that's all covered. Like, you can't do something. It's kind of like, you can't just say, listen, we'll only hire you if you drop this lawsuit, because now it's pretextual. You're literally feeding into what he's arguing, is that you're not hiring. The only reason why you're hiring me is because I filed a lawsuit. Otherwise, it's kind of like you're kind of basing it like, we wouldn't have, because the opposite of that is that we wouldn't have hired you but for this lawsuit. Right. Right, and that's kind of goes into what he's saying. Like, you're not hiring me because I'm a good coach or because I deserve it. The only reason why you're doing it is because I have this lawsuit out. And they can't now say, well, if you drop this lawsuit, we will hire you, because it's kind of, he has a right to file this lawsuit. You can't deny him his right with pretty much dangling this carrot, like, oh, you drop this lawsuit, then we'll give you this reward of being a head coach. Because here's the rub, right? They hire him and then they fire him the next year right after. Or they fire him mid-season and he just dropped this lawsuit. Because that can actually happen. They don't have to keep him on contract. We've seen it many times. People get fired mid-season for any reason, right? If he loses one game, they'll be like, oh, well, you weren't there. Like, you didn't show us enough, so now we're going to fire you. And then what? He dropped the lawsuit. And then he has to do it. And then what is he going to argue this time? Well, I wasn't hired because I was black. Or I was fired because I was black. Well, how are you going to say that at this point? Because you were literally hired because you're black. You got hired. You got the job. You just didn't live up to it. It's really an interesting area of the law when it comes to the Civil Rights Act and the EEOC, the Equal Employment. I forget the rest of the acronym. Equal Employment Commission. Because there's so many little things you cannot do as an employer. Like, there's these categories where you cannot discriminate against someone because of their race, national origin, I think gender is part of it, and some other. nationality, ethnicity, and things like that. And in that same act, you cannot punish someone for filing this motion. And in that same vein, I would say that you cannot make it a requirement of hiring if for them to drop their lawsuit, because in essence, you are silencing them you're silencing them from speaking about speaking out about this discrimination that is actually happening in the workplace. In other words, you're trying to silence someone who is speaking out against discrimination.
You can't do that.
So we'll get you out of here on this one, Jonathan. Once upon a time, before Riker Danzig, you interned for the New York Jets. And although you didn't obtain a position in professional sports, can you discuss the importance of that internship program and how it led you to where you are today?
That's actually where I met Dane, to be honest. Funny enough, in that internship,
this guy
is where I met him. But one other thing I would say, just not just specifically internships in the sports world, but just internships in general are very important, because you need to be able to get in the door. You have to be able to network and meet someone so that they know who you are. To get into the door, to be able to walk it after you get out, to have those contacts. Because otherwise, you're walking into anything blind. And in this day and age where everyone is either going to law school, because a college degree isn't what it used to be anymore. So everyone is remarkably smart. Everyone has a professional degree. Everyone went to law school, grad school, business school. So you're competing against so many people. You get the same limited amount of work, whether it's in the legal field, whether it's in the business field, whether it's in the sports field, especially in the sports field. You need to have a way in. And the only way to do that is to get an internship. Not the only way. Let me rephrase. One of the ways to do that is to get an internship, because it gets you in the door. And I know for a fact that no one's going to turn down free work, right? If you're telling a team or anybody, I'll work for free, I just want to be in the door, they're going to take you, because they'll put you to do the smallest possible task and they don't have to pay you for it. But your reward on that is you get to meet people. You get to talk to somebody that'll hopefully, if you do well enough, or if you show out enough, or you network enough, where they will remember your name. And when you come knocking on their door after graduation, they will be like, I remember you. You worked with us in this summer and you were phenomenal. And now you've become a part of the conversation for them when it comes to their hiring cycle. Or if they don't hire you, they will recommend you to somebody else. And that's what an internship gives you. It gives you the opportunity to get in the door, to actually meet the people that you hopefully will one day work with. And for the employers, it makes it so much easier to hire you, because it's low risk. You're doing free work for them for a semester. But it gives you that chance. I know for me personally, working for the Jets, it didn't ultimately lead me into the sports field. But you'd be surprised how many conversations working for the Jets started for me when I was going through my legal career. My first interview for a summer associate position, I interviewed with someone who was a huge Jet fan. And as soon as he saw that I interned for the Jets, he wanted to talk about nothing but the Jets. Granted, I'm a Giant fan. I could care less about the Jets. But that's all he wanted to talk about, because it was something that he saw on my resume that said, oh, wow, you work for the Jets? How was that like? Did you meet any players? And it became something that brought him out of the whole, I am a lawyer, I'm a partner at this firm. No, it made him a normal person. He just wanted to talk about the Jets. So it even in the smallest of ways, just doing an internship, you'd be surprised how many doors.
Absolutely.
Opened.
I mean, we've also had Liz Staple on as well, and she was also speaking very highly about her time as an intern with the Jets as well. So it sounds like Dave was doing something right when he was over there.
Yeah, you know what's funny enough is that when we got there, Dame was, I think, Dame, you were like a 2-year Jet vet over there, right?
That was my year, yeah. It was like my third season or second or third season.
So we didn't have, I think you and a few other people, you were considered like the team leader. So Dame was like supervisor at the Jets when I was there.
Yeah, I was heading up the internship program with you guys. It's definitely some long days. some hot weather, but like I said, we got through it. We're still in contact with each other. Yes, and we're going to the game in about March. But no, it was all good. It was good memories, and you're right, it opened a lot of doors, a lot of conversation starters. And at the end of the day, it's up to you, though. It's what you make of it, you know. Absolutely. For sure.
I tell my students that all the time when I'm talking to them. It's like, listen, it's one thing. It's good to be book smart. You know, get your A's, get your study your butts off, because you know what? You want to have the high grade. But if you don't know someone that's going to open that door for you, then you're still going to be on the outside with that door closed on. You have to get out there and meet people. One way or the other, internships, summer, so whatever you do, go to networking events, because you have to be more than just a piece of paper, right? You have to be a face that they can put to that piece of paper. They'd be like, oh, I know Jonathan. I know Damien. I remember seeing him at this event or when he interned for me, because now you become not just a resume upon a stack of resumes. You are a person that they now remember and that they will ultimately be like, all right, I like Damien. He was a great guy. Like he worked hard. Always asking questions. He was a go-getter. I'm going to bring him in for an interview. Even if somebody who has a 4.0 is on his desk, he's going to bring in Dame because he knows who Dame is. He's met Dame, right? As opposed to someone he's never met before and is out saying, all right, you know, this is another 4.0 out of 7 4.0s.
Right.
So that's, yeah. So I always tell people all the time, you do an internship. It's unpaid. So many times I hear like, oh, is it paid? Like, no. But you get paid an experience, right? You get to meet people, and that's the goal. Meet people. So that way when you graduate, that's when you find your job that'll ultimately lead you to get
completely. It's, you know, as a high school teacher, like that's exactly what we're trying to get in with the students. Like we have to get them in on the ground floor someplace. I know we have a Montefiore internship, we have a bunch of things going on, but get your foot in the door, 100%. And Jonathan Barrera, you got your foot in the door with us, my friend. You are now officially the legal analyst for the Fade Route. So,
listen, I've been thinking about this since Dan told me about it about last week, and I'm like, oh, what am I going to say? and of course, listen, you put me in a courtroom, I can talk for hours about commercial litigation, about criminal law, but then when we start talking about other things, I'm like, ah. I was researching. I had to make sure I knew what I was talking about. So listen, you bring me on again. I promise you, I'm not going to, I'll know what we're talking about.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we'll probably have some legal battles, legal stories coming up. I mean, I know 2026 is coming up. We're probably going to have some sort of collective bargaining issue in Major League Baseball. So we got to watch that space. So there's going to be some things coming up down the road. But Riker Danzig Associate, new legal analyst, Jonathan Barrera. You teach as well, too, right? You're a professor at Seton Hall?
Yeah, Seton Hall Law School. I'm an adjunct professor over there teaching appellate advocacy. So I'm teaching some litigation over there to my students. So hopefully they one day can be on a show like this and just talk for hours without feeling nervous at all.
Because so that's the goal for all them. The Seton Hall Law students out there, go take Professor Barrera's class. There you go. There you go. So if you want to be on the In Route, if you want to be the newest member of the In Crowd, hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com. Slide at our DMs on IG at faderoutepodcast. Drop us a line on X at faderoutednz. And let us know if you want to be on the In Route. Jonathan Barrera, thank you so much for coming on, and we will talk to you again soon, brother.
My pleasure. Thank you guys for having me. It was actually a great time. I didn't know I was going to have this much fun doing this. Thank you guys.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.